part of Sharjah.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuaimi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Hello, fellow space lovers. Welcome to a new, fresh episode of Kalam Astro. I hope you are all hyped up and, let's say, very ready to start our amazing space journey all together. We've got some exciting topics to talk about, some funny topics as well, space sparks, discoveries, and much more. We will be talking about an interesting image which was merged, and it's all about the Sun, and the image was merged by the Sharjah Academy of Astronomy, Space Sciences and Technology to track the movement of the Sun. Amazing image, amazing news about it, so you guys have to stay tuned for the amazing updates from Sharjah Academy of Astronomy, Space Sciences and Technology. Moreover, we will be talking about the next test flight of SpaceX's Starship rocket that could be coming as soon as next week. Yes, next week. We've got some exciting updates from SpaceX. Not to mention the James Webb Space Telescope has got something very, very special because it may have found some of the very first stars. And yes, we have a very funny yet very, very realistic topic, which is how do toilets work in space and what happens to the waste? Stay tuned and be very, very ready for the exciting updates and news about space right here on Kalam Astro and on Pulse 95.
You're listening to Pulse 95.
Pulse 95.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuaimi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Hello, hello, lovely friends and fellow space lovers, or listeners, let's say. Hope you had a wonderful break and are ready to start our Kalam Astro journey that we have every Saturday and Sunday at 7 p.m. with me, your annoying host, or let's say captain. No, I shouldn't call myself captain. I'm not a captain. Ali and Naomi, right, with you on Kalam Astro and on Pulse 95. Now, I must say, Ramadan is the most exciting event that we have at the moment for the Muslim world and for the entire world, to be honest. So I have a question for all of the amazing listeners. What are your plans for the holy month? Will you be spending more time with the family or with the friends, which typically happens every Ramadan? I must say that we do spend lots of time with families and friends during the holy month, but we do that all the time as well. But for some reason, there's a special vibe or a spiritual connection when it comes to the holy month of Ramadan. We spend more time with the family and friends. So yeah, will you be reading the Quran, the Holy Quran? You should be. If you are a Muslim, you should be reading the Holy Quran. Finish and complete all 30 chapters. Read it all. You will definitely love the journey of the Holy Quran if you do so. So will you be doing any extra good deeds like zakat, which is a form of charity for us the Muslims? So what we do, basically, for those who don't know, what we do every month of Ramadan, basically what we do is that we give charity to people from our money that we save for an entire year, which is a form of cleansing the money that we have, because as Muslims we consider zakah as in like the money that you receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not the money that you own. Even if you've earned it, it's still the money of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and 2.5% I believe goes to the poor, to the people who are in need, and this is a form of cleansing or cleaning of the money, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bless your money more and get you or give you even double that amount of money that you have. So these are one of the extra good deeds that we are looking forward to do during the holy month of Ramadan. Other good deeds are like iftar as-sa'im, that you can help feed a person during Ramadan, which in iftar, and do more charity, help your family, cook more for the girls. Cook more, girls. What's wrong with you girls these days? Now I don't see a lot of girls cooking. I personally love cooking. I love being around the kitchen. I cook a lot. Yeah, one time I did do space cupcakes, by the way. You know me well. I'm a mooniac, so I did something related to the moon. So anyhow, yeah, cook more sweets, cook more food, help your mothers. And for the guys, yeah, sit back in the living rooms or your rooms and just wait for the food to be ready and all prepared for you. I'm just joking. Anyway, I'm really looking forward to hearing about how you all will be celebrating the holy month of Ramadan. So feel free to text us on 4215 or send us a message or DM us on our Instagram account. Let us know what are you planning and what are your plans. And will you be stargazing during the holy month? You should be, because during the holy month there's lots of blessings and the vibes and the atmosphere is just simply beautiful. Try to look for the moon, or let's say the crescent. Not the moon, is going to be a crescent. Right, that's enough talk about the holy month of Ramadan. For now, let's talk about an amazing achievement or an amazing initiative by the Sharjah Academy of Astronomy, Space Sciences and Technology. So, they took photos of the sun on February 23rd, back then, and on February 28th. So what they did is that these photos showed a big dark spot moving from one side of the sun to the other side of the sun. So this dark spot is called a sunspot, right? So sunspots are areas that are cooler than the surrounding parts of the sun. Now, scientists can use sunspots to learn about how active the sun is. Right now, the sun has sunspots, which means it's very active. So the sunspot in the photos, the Academy, the Sharjah Academy of Astronomy, Space Sciences and Technology have showed us, were very big. Yes, the sunspot was very big and they called it AR3590, and never mind the numbers and the alphabets, you don't have to memorize it. Right, so they came to the conclusion that the sun, of course, does not stay still, it's always moving, so it spins faster at its equator than near its poles. So this is why the sunspots seem to move across the surface of the sun as it spins. So basically, the merged image of the sun showed the movement of the sunspot from the eastern side to the western side of the sun, which showed the change in the shape of the sunspot during its movement. You can go to the Sharjah Academy of Astronomy, Space Sciences and Technology's Instagram website. You will locate the image. It's simply amazing. And they show you a moving or a rotating image so you can see how the sunspots have moved while the sun was moving. Amazing news. And I'm waiting for more from Sharjah's Academy of Astronomy to give us more information and more amazing updates. For now, let's go on a quick break to start our amazing space journey together. Don't go anywhere and keep it right here with us on Pulse 95.
Pulse 95.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro. Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nwemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Welcome back to Kalam Astro. Hope you've enjoyed the break and are ready to start our next story when it comes to space exploration. Well, my friends, I have some exciting news to share about the upcoming space missions. SpaceX is currently planning to do another test flight of their huge new rocket, which is called Starship, as early as next week, which is going to be on March 14th. Now, the Starship is basically made of two parts. The top part is called Starship, which is where the astronauts will be sitting, and the bottom part is called Super Heavy, which acts like a big booster rocket. So these two parts together, they are going to be over 400 feet tall. Whoa, that's too tall. Taller than me, at least. Never mind me, I just hate my height. Don't want to go and jump into another topic. Let's go back into the topic, Alia. Let's go back to the topic. Right. Right. So basically, the top part, which is Starship, again, where the astronauts will be sitting, and the bottom part, which is called Super Heavy, which acts like a big booster rocket, together, they are over 400 feet tall. Okay? And we're not talking about my height this time. Anyhow. Right. So, for their next test, SpaceX has actually filled Starship with lots of fuel, and this fuel is over 10 million pounds. Imagine, so they can make sure that the Starship does not run out of fuel and keeps going. So they did this to also practice fueling it up for the launch. And Elon Musk, the CEO of SpaceX, said on X, which is the social media application that we all know, formerly known as Twitter, right? Elon Musk said that they are preparing for the Starship Flight 3 test because, as we know, in previous tests, Starships did not make it all the way into orbit, just like what Elon Musk have or had expected or any scientists had expected, or just like the way they wanted it to be. So, this time, SpaceX has been working very hard to fix any problems. I can say they've learned from their mistakes. The new test flight should help show if their improvements are actually working. Because during the first test of the flight, Starship failed to separate from its first stage booster and began tumbling. And SpaceX detonated the rocket just under 4 minutes after liftoff. On its second flight, or the second test flight, the Starship separated successfully from Super Heavy, which is the bottom part, as we mentioned, around 2 minutes and 40 seconds into flight. But then Super Heavy, which is the bottom part, blew up shortly after in a massive aerial explosion. Imagine how scary that is. So we don't know about test 3, but fingers crossed everything works out very fine and the scientists in SpaceX have learned from the mistakes or the previous failures. Let's see how things go. If it all goes well, one day Starship will definitely take people back to the moon as part of NASA's Artemis program, of course. And it will be an amazing new way to explore space. Probably not the moon, not just the moon. We could go anywhere else as well. Pretty much elated or excited to watch this next Starship test and see how high it can fly this time. What do you think, my friends? Will it make it to orbit this time? Let me know. What do you think? Text us on 4215. Do you think the test from SpaceX Starship, the third test, is going to go well or not? Do text us and let us know. What do you guys think? And again, mark your calendars for March 14th so you can probably get to comment on the event together as we see it. Right, a quick break and we are coming back. Don't go anywhere. Keep your radio waves on Pulse 95.
You're listening to Pulse 95. Pulse 95.
Keeping it local all day, every day.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Welcome to Kalam Astro. Yes, welcome back. I hope you've enjoyed the break and are ready to get more space information and more space updates, because I have an amazing update, my friends, about the James Webb Space Telescope. Now, for those who don't know, the James Webb Space Telescope is a space telescope that is designed to conduct infrared astronomy because it's got high resolution and high sensitivity instruments, and these instruments allow it to view objects way too old, way too distant, and faint from the Hubble Space Telescope. So basically, JWST can take you all the way to the past and take pictures of far, far, far away stars. Isn't that just simply amazing? And that brings us to our amazing update and topic, because my friends, the James Webb Space Telescope has made an amazing discovery, because it has recently found a very, very old and far away galaxy, which is called GN-Z11. Now, this galaxy have existed just 430 million years after the Big Bang. So, to give you an idea of how long ago that was, I'll try my best. Now, the entire universe is about 13.8 billion years old. So, if you are seeing GN-Z11, which is the new galaxy discovered by the James Webb Space Telescope, if you see it as it was over 13 billion years in the past, this is basically how long it was and what James Webb Space Telescope have caught on pictures. Now, the scientists, of course, were very overwhelmed. They were very happy about this picture taken by JWST. I mean, who wouldn't? It's like a picture of the past, which is 13 billion years away from us, or 13 billion years in the past. So what the scientists did, they studied GN-Z11 very, very carefully, and they used the instruments on the Webb telescope, which is JWST. So what they found evidence for some of the first ever stars inside this ancient galaxy. They would have been the very, very first stars to form in the whole universe. Do you see how amazing the James Webb Space Telescope is? It actually managed to capture the first ever stars inside this ancient galaxy GN-Z11, which means it is 13 billion years in the past. It probably could be the first star to ever happen or form in the universe. I'm blown, to be honest. I'm blown. Honestly, if you think about it, how could just technology be this good? This is simply amazing. It's kind of like miraculous, to be honest. Now, the scientists think that these first stars were very huge, and they've got masses many times bigger than our own sun. And there are probably over 600,000 suns worth of these first stars shining brightly in the new discovered galaxy GN-Z11, which is discovered by our amazing telescope, the JWST, the James Webb Space Telescope. Now, the telescope also have found something else, which is very interesting. It found a huge black hole at the center of GN-Z11, which is again a new discovered galaxy from the past, dates back 13 billion years in the past. Right, so it is over 2 million times more massive than our sun. The black hole, which was found by JWST, is 2 million times more massive than our sun. How scary is that? And scientists think that the big stars and black holes helped make GN-Z11 shine very brightly so long ago. This is just simply amazing. It's amazing that the Webb telescope can see something so far away and in the past. It's honestly giving us a glimpse at what the very earliest galaxies in the universe were like. And I really can't fathom the idea and think about how technology can give us something so amazing. So basically, we are in the future, and the past is in the past, and JWST managed to capture the past for us. So if we go all the way in space in the universe, it means we could be going back into the past. This is simply amazing. We've talked about this a lot, to be honest, but I just, you know, I'm never done talking about this amazing topic about time and space. We probably might be talking about it very, very soon as well. That's why I would like for all of you to keep your radio waves on Pulse 95.
This is Pulse 95.
Pulse 95.
It's a Shasha story.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Now, dear listeners and my fellow space lovers and friends. Tonight, I will be discussing a very interesting topic on this segment. Not making me very comfortable talking about it, but then again, let's be realistic and talk about it and discover how do toilets work in space and what happens to the waste. Right, so as you know, living in space could be very difficult from living on Earth, of course. Sometimes you're not even comfortable using the loo anyway, you know? So what about space, right? So in space, there's no gravity, so simple things like using the toilet can become very difficult and very tricky. There was an astronaut, or first astronauts like Alan Shepard. He had to just go in their spacesuits. Yes, you heard that correctly. They used to just go on their spacesuits, if you know what I mean, because there were no proper toilets back then in space. So if they wanted to go to the loo was the spacesuits. Yeah, right. I'm so uncomfortable talking about it, but then again, let's be realistic. So Alan Shepard had to just use the spacesuit that he's wearing as a toilet because there are no proper toilets. Later on, NASA then started putting collection devices in the suits, but it was still not easy because, yeah, I kind of imagine, yeah, it's not easy to still go on the use, to still use the spacesuit that you are wearing as a toilet. But now, NASA has special space toilets on the International Space Stations. Now, these toilets work very, very differently than the ones on planet Earth. Instead of using gravity, they use air pressure and suction to collect the waste. Now, astronauts must strap themselves carefully to the toilet seat so just they don't float around because there's no gravity in space, right? So they have to strap themselves, use a seatbelt, let's say, or a toilet seatbelt to sit carefully on the toilet seat. Then when, let's say they go, a strong fan quickly sucks everything away into collection bags. Ouch. Right. I'm really uncomfortable talking about that, but then again, this is very important information. So yeah, this is important because the waste does not float around in zero gravity and cause problems. So the collection bags collect all the waste, all the human waste, all the astronauts' waste, and, well, collect it, basically. You get the idea. But waste is not thrown away, and water is recycled. Yes, you heard that correctly. So the urine is collected and processed to extract water that can be made clean and safe again for drinking. Now, this might be overwhelming for all of us Earthlings who live on Earth and have never been to space, but this is nearly 90% of the water that astronauts use each day. I don't know, lad. Right. Even sweat and moisture as well in the breath is also collected and made into clean water. And only solid waste collected in bags cannot be recycled. So the urine is recycled, sweat is recycled, moisture is recycled, and then the astronauts get to drink it because 90% of it, yeah, gets the clean water out. Right. So these collection bags, waste collection bags, are put in special containers and then they are burnt up in Earth's atmosphere when big cargo ships return from space. I'm glad the collection bags don't go back to Earth. Right, no one would want that. So overall, space toilets have improved a lot, we can say. So the new designs are more comfortable and they work better for both men and women. And waste is definitely managed safely, so precious resources like water can be reused. Still don't like the idea of water being reused from urine, but then again, I don't know what happens then. What's the situation up there? Right, thank you for bearing with me on this amazing and funny and awkward topic, let's say. I hope you found this informative on how our astronauts meet their basic needs in space. Stay with me still. I'm not going anywhere. There is another segment before we go anywhere. So keep it right here with us on Pulse 95.
This is Pulse 95.
Of Sharjah.
What a story to tell.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Yes, this is Kalam Astro. Welcome back to our final segment of the show. I must say, the saddest segment, as I always say. I call it the sad segment, and that's why if you hear this amazing soundtrack and very, very sad soundtrack, which I love very much, it means that the show is about to end. I genuinely want to thank all of you for staying with me on Kalam Astro tonight. I've truly enjoyed talking today. We've got some, we really did discuss some amazing topics, which started from the merging of the image of the sun by the Sharjah Academy of Astronomy, Space Sciences and Technology. We've talked about how they merged the February 23rd and February 28th images to track the movement of the sunspots in the sun, and it's amazing. I must remind you, if you want to have have a look at the image and a rotating image, which is moving, you can have a look at their Instagram account. Go to the Sharjah Academy of Astronomy, Space Sciences and Technologies Instagram account, and you'll be able to view the image. We also talked about the next test flight of SpaceX's Starship rocket that could come as soon as next week, which is March 14th. Do mark your calendars. This is the third test. Hopefully, and fingers crossed, this time it works very well, because the first test failed, the second failed. Let's hope the third time is going to be the magic and it works out. We also talked about the James Webb Space Telescope with its new discovery. It discovered the very first stars which are born or have been, or let's say existed in the universe before the Big Bang, which is 13 billion years ago. And this is simply amazing. Honestly, when you contemplate about technology and how advanced this is, that it gives you the chance to look at the past while you are in the present, or perhaps we are in the future, we never know. We also talked about some facts which kept me kind of going like, brother, the whole time. But we talked about how do toilets work in space and what happens to the waste. We talked about how the astronauts used to just go on their space suits. Yes, the loo or the toilet was the space suit. And then NASA have worked on new technologies to give them better toilets in the International Space Stations. And but brother, when I discovered the fact that the urine, 90% of the urine turns to water because it's recycled, the moisture is recycled, sweat is recycled, and urine is recycled to drinkable water again, and astronauts do drink it. But brother, lads, anyhow, never mind me, it's just was fascinating information, to be honest. If it's your first time to hear this, I would say this is my first time to know this as well. So right, yeah, great topics. We've discussed amazing and interesting topics. I would say by far this might be the best Kalam Astro episode that I have truly, truly enjoyed, and I hope that you did too. Well, before we wrap up and say farewell, I must remind you that this is going to be, well, not the farewell, because during the month of Ramadan, I have a lineup of exciting episodes for you, which is connected to the Holy Quran, or related to the Holy Quran and the miracles, and how is it connected to space. I have exciting topics to talk about, and I can't wait for us to meet next week to start our Ramadan holy spiritual journey of space right here on Kalam Astro and on Pulse 95.
From the heart of Sharjah.
From the heart of Sharjah.
From the heart of Sharjah. Pulse 95.
Pulse 95.
Pulse 95. Something to talk about.